the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP and my heart is here.
Save it for Missy Ack. Missy Ack wrap around his head. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaleva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are both here, Coach Sean and myself, here after the long trip back from Anchorage, Alaska. We're just talking about the combined hours of sleep Coach and I have coming in here. It's kind of a show that's going to be running on fumes, I think, today. But we're ready to talk about Michigan Tech hockey. Coach, welcome back, and it is nice to be back home, isn't it?
It is nice to be back here, Dirk, for sure. But, it was a good trip. It was a good trip. Everybody did well in accommodations, and we got up there quickly. We enjoyed a great outdoor skate. The weather was incredible. They had what they call a Chinook wind. It was 40 degrees plus every day, and it was a good trip. I think we came out of it better.
You know, we talked to John D earlier today about the difference, and he has mentioned this many times before, where if we are really cold here, they are warm there, and vice versa. So.
Yeah, we talked with people up there that said that they've lived down in the lower 48, and they say that. They say if it's cold up there, it's warmer down here, and if it's warm up there, it's colder down here.
It was incredible. It was really refreshing to not have what we're having here up there. But we get the win on Friday night, Coach, and we nothing tie, which has happened before. I've seen it with the Huskies in past years, but you don't see it very often, do you? Not very often you go through a whole weekend without giving up an actual goal and only come away with four out of 6 points.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of good. I don't know. Are we getting too early into the weekend?
No.
A lot of good out of the weekend. For sure, a lot of good, a lot of good signs and a lot of encouragement going in many ways. Our goals against this year is better than last year. That's a good thing.
Right.
When you look at last year, we obviously had a pretty good year. We turned things around well. We did a good job. But this year our goals against is better. Our goaltending has been tremendous, and this year, for the most part, our goaltending is extremely solid and given us a chance. That's a good thing. We have shutouts in three of our last six hockey games. That's a big deal. And then you throw in there the three games that we let up goals. One against Bowling Green, where not one of the shots that went in on us were shots at the net. Right. So our coverage was good. They were throwing things at the net. They hit things off to the side and bounced in the net. That's okay. We had the overtime game against Bemidji at Bemidji, outdoor game, and then we had the basically a 2-0 game with an empty netter against Bemidji where we were shut out. But three of the last six games, and then another game in there with Bowling Green, and another game in there with Bemidji. We're not giving up a ton. We're doing a pretty good job in that regards. The team's growing with a whole new defense and extremely young defense. That leads to the defense. I think they've done a good job. I think those guys, especially last weekend, you have to think that Saturday night's game was better than Friday's.
I agree.
Structurally. You said that in it after the game, but structurally, we were better. Systematically, we were better. Tactically, our defensemen did a good job. Anchorage didn't have zone time against us and things like that. Really, our the best chances that we gave up, for the most part, were on the 5-on-5. I mean, on the power play. When we were on the power play, we gave up, I believe, four grade A scoring chances, and while we were on the power play, 2-on-1s and one breakaway. So 5-on-5, our play is pretty good. Our defense have done a very good job. They're growing. They're getting better. They transitioned the puck well. They got the puck into our forwards' hands. That was a very good thing. A lot of young guys are getting a lot of quality minutes. We had some tremendous play last weekend. Really, the difference in the game Saturday, I thought, was that we got some efforts on Friday from some young guys. I thought Broachman was absolutely phenomenal. Hallinan was great. Gould was great on that line was absolutely tremendous. We didn't get the same push out of them on Saturday. It's tough for those freshmen to put two big games together. You know, we'll take two out of three, you know, and they'll turn to three out of four, then it'll get more consistent. We're getting a lot of really good play out of a lot of young guys. So, there's things, tendencies, things that we look at, that are going in the right direction. We found how important a guy like TJ Poglis is to our lineup. Mm-hmm. The penalty kill has been great. It was absolutely tremendous on the weekend. We threw a goose egg out there. We didn't give up anything. Penalty kill's been outstanding. We've seen, we tried the experiment to see what we can do with our lineup and realize we have to have a guy like TJ in the lineup. Another young freshman that gives us a great Reed Sturrows type of role, and we hope that he can grow in some offensive capacities, 5-on-5, things like that, but he's valuable to our lineup. So, there's a lot to grow on, coming out of the weekend, a lot of positives that we feel. Systematic play, which we can have a control over, defensive effort, we can have a control over. Those things are heading in the right direction. And I thought our compete level, our stay above the puck, those things, especially defensively, were good on the weekend. And obviously with not giving up a goal, that shows.
We're at about 28th in the nation, coach, right now on our penalty kill with 81%.
It's come a long way from last.
That's what I was getting at. I don't have the stats in front of me. Do you have any idea what we are, say, in the last 2 months or about where we are?
Well, we're close to 90%.
Okay.
I mean, to raise it from what we were at about 68% after about 10 games to right now, and we're climbing. We're going in the right direction. A week ago, like I said, at Bemidji, we were trying to experiment because we're trying to, you know, we have to find ways to be able to create offense as well. Right. So we tried it last week. Like we said, we forced ourselves to make decisions. We didn't bring TJ to Bemidji, and we gave up big goals each night, one in overtime. And the first goal of the game when we were playing, it was a good hockey game. Neither team had generated much through the first half of the game. Then they got a power play in the, you know, about halfway through the game and scored on it. So we, you know, we did some experimentation there to see and learn from it, but got back to what we were doing prior last weekend and did a good job. And to say that, Anchorage is pretty good at the power play. They have some guys.
They're really good.
And we feel we have some guys in the right spot. But we watched them against several teams in our prep work, and they have guys in spots that can do things, you know, do things and make things happen. The one player in the Nicholas Erb Ekholm, he controls it down there. He makes a lot of plays. They got Sinclair, who's a good sophomore defenseman for them, that's got a bomb of a shot, in the right spot in the power play. So they have guys in spots that they need to do well. They move the puck well. They really cheat offensively and things. And so our kill did a good job, I thought.
Can we go back to TJ Poglis a little bit, coach? And maybe a lot of other people are like me, trying to figure, you know, what is he missing in his game right now that he's not really contributing offensively? What part of the game do you see that he's? Is it just a hands thing, a touch thing, or because the work ethic is obviously there every single shift he goes out there?
Yeah, doesn't he remind you a lot of a right-handed Ray Bryce?
Right,
and that, I mean he gives you the difference is that we have tried Ray. It'd be extremely valuable to us if we could get Ray to really grasp the penalty kill. He's a good 5-on-5. Defender, extremely good. He does all the little things right. And he's Ray's deal is, he's kind of a, you know, I've said these things before, but he's like a Weimaraner. He's like a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Those dogs are known in the hunting world as being dogs that are not stubborn, but it takes them a little while to completely get it. But once they get it, and once they're programmed in, they're not gonna make mistakes. They're gonna, and that's how Ray is defensively. It took him a little while. He was in our lineup for much of his earlier career. But now he's got it 5-on-5. We'd love to get him to the point where he can give us that, in the defending role. Reed Sturrows was a tremendous penalty killer. TJ's just got the feel on the penalty kill. He's got that part of the game down. It's probably been something that he's prided himself in and has felt comfortable in for a long time. 5-on-5, he's got to see things more. And here's it with a lot of our players. And that's where we get at. The offensive side of the game is you know, a lot of that is God-given talent. You know, just the instincts of it, just the, but a lot of it is, I guess, in addition to that comment, I think I've told this before. I don't know for sure, but it's something that just when I heard it, it just hit me over the head like a hammer. And it's the Tim Tebow story. And I think people have probably heard this before. Maybe not. Maybe I've just told it, you know, to us privately and things like that. But Tim, I was up in British Columbia a few years back. Tim Tebow was still trying to have his football career. Tim Tebow is a player that, for those that don't know, most people know him. He's a very Christian, known to be, over the top in his faith and things, Heisman Trophy winner, All-American type kid, Heisman Trophy, like I said, top player in football, national champion for Florida State, I believe, right? No, Florida Gators, Florida. Mm-hmm. And, he went to the NFL, to the Denver Broncos, and he fought it. He fought being a quarterback in the NFL. So I'm up in British Columbia and listen to this show, and they're interviewing this player. Do we have a break coming up quickly?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, we're interviewing this player, an all-pro player for, and one of the leaders of the Denver Broncos, and this is right, you know, shortly, they had won Super Bowl and things. And, they asked him about Tim Tebow, because Tim Tebow is now, he's in Vancouver, is talking about going to the CFL, the Canadian Football League, to try to work his way back in the NFL as a quarterback. And the guy said, will Tim Tebow ever come back to the NFL as a quarterback? And he said, no. And he said, why is it? Does Tim Tebow just turn people off? Does his faith and things, and you know, does that turn people off? He said, absolutely not. That gathers people. The guys on the team gather. When there's a problem, when there's something, you go to Tim Tebow no matter what role he's in. You can feel his strength, his inner strength. What is it? Is he bad in the locker room? Like, is he, you know, is there that selfish side because he gets so much press? No, not a chance. Tim Tebow is the most centered, grounded man you'll ever meet. There is no one that, when he walks in, he changes a locker room in a good way. He said, does he not have an NFL quarterback arm? He says, he has an NFL quarterback release. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's got an NFL quarterback release. Does he not work hard enough? Like, does he think it should just happen because of his background? He said, Tim Tebow's the first guy there. He's the last guy off. There are no holes in the character of Tim Tebow. He says, well, what is it? He said, in the NFL, when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you have to see things in your mind before they happen. It's about anticipation. It's not about reaction. And Tim Tebow has to see it. He has to see the man open. And then he throws the ball. That's what's in his, that's how his DNA works. That's how he works. And when you see it, it's gone.
Yeah, it's too late.
The window's gone. Like, when you have to see it, and I think about that all the time now when I watch Brady or Rodgers or one of these NFL guys, and they throw a pass, and, you know, the receiver zigged and the pass zagged. And, you know, they completely miss them. And then you'll see them get upset. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at them, they'll hold their helmet.
Do that little sign across.
You're supposed to go that way. You're supposed to go that. And then when
see Aaron Rodgers do that all the
time. Yeah, and then you see when the guy's coming to the huddle and he looks at him and he's telling them. And what that is, he's telling the guy, be prepared. Like, prepare yourself because there's so many different things that happen that reads within reads and within reads for offensive football. And it's amazing to me that they do that. They get, and if the coverage is this, it's that. If it's that, it's this. You know, they do this. And they get upset because the guy's not prepared. These elite players get upset because the guy's not, they're not prepared. Do your job. Do your job. And now, and they also say, if it was on me, when you see that, they'll point, that was on me. I made the wrong read. That's the difference. You know, you're talking about TJ, you know, and this is really our team. This is our team right now, is that, offensively, like we talked about a little bit this week and things, there's plays that you're looking at and you're like, wow, did he not see that? You know, did he not see that play? And you don't know if they do. It's either preparedness or it comes down to ability or, you know, innate ability like Tim Tebow. Like, right. He said he can't develop that. Now me, I think I was fortunate that I was able to see things before they happened, like, and I think that's kind of what was able to help me in athletics. You know, I played quarterback in high school. I played, you know, in baseball and even in basketball, I think you have to see things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. that you have to feel it before it happens and then know that a guy's going to do. Now, we talk about this. We set up defensively. Defensive work is hard work. It's structure. You don't have the puck. You take the creative side out of it. It's man on man, compete type stuff, win a battle. Offense, there's a skeleton. And from that skeleton, you have to create what you create off of that. And we struggle with that. There's no question about it. We struggle. We have guys that have struggled in their whole careers here with that. And that's what we have to find, those creatively offensive thinking type of people that, and there's a lot that goes into that, but that make plays, that just make plays. And, you know, we're talking about TJ, but I'm really talking about a lot of our lineup. Last year, our defensive core, and no one would have thought this, our defensive core led the country in scoring. Our defensemen led the country, the NCAA hockey in scoring. You had 30-something points out of Ock. You had high 20s out of Rentke. You had probably 18 or so out of Berksey. You had about 14 or 15 or something like that out of Donahue. Those guys, and now you look at, you know, Rentke's having an unbelievable year in the American League. Like, he's going to, you know, he's destined. He'll be in the NHL as a mainstay very shortly. He's leading second, I think, on his team in scoring or something like that. I believe he's the top-scoring rookie defenseman in the American Hockey League. And is just taken off. There is that ability, something that we needed. And if you remember, Rentke was hurt last year. And when Rentke got back, we started it. He wasn't in the lineup against Bowling Green, but he got back for that whole playoff run and was absolutely tremendous for us. So I know I beat this up to a degree, but we're talking about Pogues, but we're talking about our team offensively and the creativity and offensively, like great players, good players make those around them better. We're looking for guys right now that help, guys that we're trying to get going. We're looking for guys that can help them get better. Therein lies our problem offensively. And these guys are great kids. Congratulations to Jake Lucchini on his 100th point.
Yep.
He's had a wonderful career for us, a great career. And trust me, these guys want to win as much as any, you know, more than they're used to it. They want to do extremely well. I'm happy now that our compete level is increasing. Offensively, we got to continue to find ways to try to help guys, try to get as much of that creativity out of them as we can.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour. Get your questions in by sending them in, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Schaan Hour continues after these.
Dreaming up the ideal retirement is your job. Helping you get there is ours. That's why we encourage you to contribute to an Edward Jones IRA by April 15th. By investing in an Edward Jones IRA, you can take advantage of potential tax benefits for 2018. To help make sense of your retirement goals before the April 15th tax deadline, contact me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
No, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates. Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
In
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies on Friday night up in Anchorage, Alaska, defeating Anchorage by a score of 3-0. A couple of goals by Hallinan and one by Jake Jackson. And the first goal came real early in the game.
Goes over to his forehand, dumps it down. Hallinan will pick it up off the wall. And a bouncing puck behind the net taken by Gould. Gould in front trying to hit Bretzman. Bouncing puck. Loose puck and they score. Oh, there it is. Brian Hallinan in his second goal in as many weekends. And the Huskies with an early 1-0 lead. A minute 28 into period number one. Huskies across the line. Passed over now for Jackson coming in. Jackson with a pass to the front. Scores. Jake Jackson with the monkey off his back as he makes the signal of the monkey coming off his back. Got the goal as it went off of either the goaltender or a defenseman in front. And it'll go down as a power play goal with 21.8 seconds left to go to give the Huskies a 2-0 lead. Huskies couldn't get there in time. Penalty is over now to Hallinan. And the Huskies finish the kill. Stretch pass up for Hallinan. He's coming in on a breakaway looking for a second of the night. Scores! Hallinan out of the box. Gets the goal and the Huskies seal the deal here with a 3-0 lead with 3:38 remaining in the third period.
So the Huskies get the win. Hallinan with two goals. It was Matt Jerusik with the shutout. 18 saves on 18 shots. That was Friday night's game. And it was nice, Coach, to get that early goal by Hallinan. And we know we went a long time from that first goal to when we got that big second goal by Jackson late in the second period on the power play. But, you know, we, like you said, the penalty kill was really good this week. And Matt Jerusik was really solid in net. And we got some timely goals.
Yeah, we did. And we, you know, even Saturday we had a couple breakaways on Saturday, created some offense. On Saturday, like we said, I thought that we played better, and I thought that Alaska played better as well. They competed. They had confidence that, hey, if we can shut these guys out and not give them this stuff, that, you know, we can be in this game, and it paid off for them. So, but again, what I come out encouraged, the encouraging things I come out on the weekend is we've tried to make, from Mankato back after the GLI and stuff like that, from Mankato on, we've stressed our compete level, our, you know, trying to be harder to play against. And we're seeing results of that, and we're making lineups based on that. We're making lineups. Okay, we're fighting. We have guys that fight offense anyways. Let's make sure that we have the guys that are committed and prepared defensively. You know, I got a great, I don't have my phone on me here, but, Suzanne sent me a great thing Friday morning, I think, or something, maybe Thursday. She sent it to all the coaches, and it's the four R's of a great culture. And it starts with a standard, that you start with a standard. You reward those that meet that standard. And I looked at that and I thought, that's exactly what we try to do, and we have to stick to this. We can never change what we believe to be true just to, you know, I talked about this last week, for political gain, to save your job, whatever. You have to stay to who you are, I think, regardless. And modify within for what you think is good and what you think is right within your value structure. But it was, and I'll try to remember them all, but reward those that are meeting the standard, on a daily basis, all the time. Reward those with praise, reward them with playing time. You know, reward them with their time. Remind those that aren't of what the standard is. Try to bring them back in. We do that continually. Some people take things the right way. Some people take them the wrong way. I think the guy we've talked about so much, about the guys that we have no trouble with at all as a coaching staff, that we spend very little time with as a coaching staff on these types of issues. You can see those guys on the ice. You know, I talk about them all the time. You don't have to. Bryce knows exactly where he fits. They know their roles. They know theirs, and they relish it. You know, Rockwell's the same way. He does it. Missyak's the same way. Those guys have no issues at all with anything. And you can tell it. They're growing. They're growing. They're taking. They've gone through heat. They know where they're at in the lineup. They want it. You know, all they know, they know that their performance is all that can change that. Mm-hmm. So you remind those. So we've gone to reward and remind. You replace those that don't meet the standard. And we do that. Like if you come and you take a couple days off in the week and you're on the drills, you don't really know, or you're going to the end of the line, you don't really know what to do in the drills, you're not paying attention. It means that you're not, we've talked about how we prep. It means that you haven't paid attention to our prep work that we do early in the week. You're not, because the drills are all geared to how we want to perform on the weekend, what we want to hold true. We only have so much time to work with these guys. We want to make sure that we're drilling in a message of how we want to perform. So you replace those, you take them out of the lineup and put somebody in who is trying and more meeting the standard. And then at the very end of it, you have to remove those guys that you feel are trying to sabotage the standard that you're after. I thought it was a great thing because it's a simple thing that ties in, you know, the pyramid that I work off of, everything that I do. It's four very easy things on how to deal straightforward with the athlete, with your work person, with whatever. You know, you reward them. Now, we always say all the time on the lineup, and I'm telling guys all the time, we're talking about putting somebody in because somebody else isn't playing that well, right? It happened this weekend. And then I say, well, he's not, why are we putting him in though? He's not meeting the standard. Like we're not gaining anything by doing that. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things you got to make sure you're not sending out false rewards, right. I think as well. So, just kind of a roundabout answer again.
No, but let me ask you this then. And I forgot what I was going to ask you.
We're both tired.
Saturday night's game. So Friday night, get the shutout, Jurusik, 18 saves. He gets the shutout on Saturday night. In between the games, we talked to Matt, and he kind of, even though you couldn't tell, obviously, because it was just the audio playing, but when I was interviewing, he had a little smirk on his face. He said, well, I've had a lot of time to work on to think about my game.
Yeah.
And he smirked. He goes, because I haven't been playing in a while. And he was kind of admitting that he figured out that there were some things wrong. What did he do so well this weekend? Because to me, and I'm not a goalie, but he seemed to be very square to the puck.
Mm-hmm. Very big saves.
Yeah. I mean, really big. He didn't have a lot of shots, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of big saves in those games.
There were, because there were breakdowns on our coverage at times, individual breakdowns within the system where guys got beat. And a lot of those came again on the power play, mm-hmm. you know, with guys, I mean, on the power play, but you know what? That goes into the, Robbie Badoon went in and gave us, you know, did a good job. He played, a little bit before Christmas, did a great job. Went in, to the GLI, played a really good game against Michigan. A so-so game against
Lake State,
but you can say the same thing about him. What made Robbie, like, why when he went in there and he waited so long to finally get a chance to play and he was so good, why didn't you play him sooner? Well, you have to see it in practice. Mm-hmm. Like I tell all of our guys that we have to see it in practice. Other than that, it's a gift, right? Other than that, you're not helping these guys grow. We talk about that all the time about our freshmen, in bringing them on, that they have to earn it. You know, we have to make them earn it, because if you give it to them too much and then at the start and then you take it away, then they get sour. If they have to get it locked in and into their DNA of how it's done here, into their culture. We have guys in lineup right now, as you see, that have never really bought in to improve their game. They've just kept relying on what they do. Others have been the character base. We talk about that all the time. People don't like it, honestly, but how Sturos and Neville, that one year, how they were the ones that really steadied our ship. Last year, I thought, Lesperance and Baltus and Ranke, like, they steadied our ship. They had a vision of where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do, and they steadied our ship. And a lot of other guys followed that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it comes to your time, and do you relish the leadership part of it? Or do you feel it, okay, now it's time for my cookies. Now it's time for someone to get me the pie. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the guys that relish the process, people question or called in with a question last week, the relish the journey and not the end. The end result is someone else does a lot of work for you and you put the puck in the net. The reward is doing the work and getting all those scoring chances because you did all the work and you did everything right. So, comes another beat up answer a little bit, but you know, and the reason I go into these answers is because I get so many great emails and things from people that say, Coach, good job. You know what I mean? Like, good job. Or people that say, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I do this and that, which is good too. But people like it, and I'm not the type of guy to, you know, I'm not a con. I'm not, I tell their guys, we're not going to play head games. You're going to know exactly where we're at. I want to just be a mirror for our players. I want them to look at me, and if they feel uncomfortable with something, let's resolve it. But start by analyzing. Don't shortcut it. Let's get to the root of the problem.
We're going to take a break here in a second, but the elephant in the room, of course, is the extra shootouts that we had on Saturday night. We all kind of knew what was going on there, but
Just to answer real quick your question about Jurusic.
Yeah,
he prepared himself to go in and perform. He prepared himself. Now, the challenge to him, the challenge to Robbie, the challenge to all of our guys is it shouldn't, don't make the coaches make your life hard to get the most out of yourself. We're just making decisions as to what makes our team the best. You know what I mean? And that's the message to the team. You go in, you have a great performance because you haven't played in a while. When you're playing, weak goals are starting to, you know, just like Robbie started letting in some, you know, the goal at Bemidji was not a good goal. The one that, the second goal that you said was the backbreaker. Couple that against, you know, against Lake State. Those start creeping in. That's the side of it is it shouldn't take, you know, a negative to, and sometimes it does, but as maturity sets in, prepare yourself and give yourself a chance. The great players make others better. The great players perform virtually all the time. And that's what we're after. We're after guys trying to be the very best that they can be.
All right, so we're going to go through on the other WCHA scores over the weekend, some real good games going on, and take a look at the standings, and also get to some of your questions coming up real soon, too. It's all part of the Joe Schonauer, exclusively on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Taco, Taco Man, you know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay.
Without delay.
Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues, advanced tech body repair.
It's almost Bush O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Bush.
Crisp, cold Bush. Enjoy it responsibly. Bush Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The deals keep getting better and better in 2019 at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store. Calumet, kick off the new year with Bucko's 6-pack of 16-ounce canned beer special. All Canada Dry 1 liters and 7-up 20-ouncers are 99 cents. All Pepsi product 12-pack cans are only 2 for $9, and all 2 liters are 2 for $3. Stay warm this winter with Keweenaw Alpaca gear, sold exclusively at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit. Bucko's Party Store, Calumet.
Oh, welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ on this Monday morning. Our email address, dj@themix93.com.
This is your birthday. It's your birthday.
To the online.
It's your birthday.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, happy birthday, Coach.
How's
that
get
old you are
yeah.
today?
Yeah, 56.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to say it until I knew for sure. But
well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy 56th birthday. Okay, let's get to, well, first of all, this weekend's games. This is the time of the year, Coach, where at least us, as fans of Michigan Tech hockey, will start scoreboard watching a little bit more because we're getting towards the end and looking at the playoff picture and the jockeying around with the standings and everything. But some interesting games over the weekend. Lake State at home with a pretty big win on Friday night, 5-2 over Bemidji State. But the Beavers come back with a very important win for them and for the league, 5-3 on Saturday night.
Yeah, that was a good series. You knew it was going to be a good series, a good chance that was going to be a split going in. Two teams that get at it pretty good. I'm really impressed with Lake Superior. I think that they're, you know, they seem to have they seem to have the right leadership in place within their group that are going out there and performing every single night. They're leading the way with compete. They've always played a little bit on the edge, but they haven't been able to get over the hump for, I don't know, 5 years, you know, for longer than that. They haven't been able to get over the hump, and we'll see if this year if they have it in them to get over the hump. But they seem to have, you know, they have the goaltending, they seem to have defense with that take care of it. Their checking schemes and things are good, their accountability is good, but most importantly they have some guys in there that are showing some great creativity, power play, and you can tell a lot. Your best players are on your power play. If your power play is consistent and really good at the right times when you need it, that usually bodes itself pretty well, because those are usually your best. You know, people judge everybody like sexy, and offense is sexy, and if your offensive guys are producing, which Lake State has their offensive guys producing, from Kuglietta, you know, on out to right on out, how much those guys, if they're performing, they're doing well.
Interesting series down at Bowling Green. They trade off shutouts. Friday night, Bowling Green over Ferris State, 2-0, and Bob Daniels and the Bulldogs come back and win 3-0 on Saturday night.
Yeah, we're seeing that with Bowling Green again. They're a tremendous team, extremely well coached, highly competitive. They're always in that position. They're always in that position right now, and then a loss or two gets in there and just sinks them, a loss to the wrong team, and gets them into that 15, 16, 17 spot. Now they have to win the playoffs, where Mankato's, you know, traditionally goes into it with, you know, knowing that, okay, if we don't win the playoffs, we're still in the top, you know, 12 or so, and then we're still going to be in the national tournament. So Bowling Green's going to have to find a way to do that. They've been splitting. This week they did differently than they've been doing it. They've been having trouble on Friday. We shut them out on Friday a few weeks ago. Had a really good game with them Saturday. This week they went the opposite way. They got the shutout, the win on Friday, and then were shut out Saturday.
Wildcats of Northern Michigan were kind of playing catch up all weekend, and just never the power of Minnesota State is really incredible. 8-2 on Saturday night was the final. 8 goals against the Wildcats at Barry Event Center. You're not going to see that very often. And then closer game on Saturday night, even though it was kind of a late charge by Northern, 3-2 in favor of Minnesota State.
Didn't it go the opposite way, or no? I thought it went the Saturday game. I thought was the 8-2 game.
Right. That's what I said.
And the thing is, on Friday night, if you look at it, Northern had shot them 22-5 or something in the third, according to the shots that were posted. It was a high total. That's what Mankato can do. Mankato can be outplayed by teams. They were outshot both games, I believe, on the weekend. They can be outplayed it doesn't take them much to create offense. They have good, gritty, competitive offensive players. They're doing a good job of recruiting, and now they're competing with the Minnesotas and the Duluths and St. Clouds for kids in Minnesota because they're so close to the cities. They can get some of those top end type guys and, but they've done a good job. There's a lot of appealing things to Mankato that they're able to use in recruiting and lure guys there. And, they've done a good job, but it doesn't take them much. We can come in and we can play some great hockey next weekend at the Winter Carnival. We could play great hockey, as we've seen in the past here against them, and not come out with victories. We could hold them to 16 shots, and they could get 4 goals. That's just how they are, and that's how they were at Northern Michigan last weekend.
This just came to my mind, and there's a lot of empty room up there. But let me ask you your opinion on this. You're talking about Minnesota State, and you know when we were all in the WCHA with all the big schools of the Minnesotas and the North Dakotas and Wisconsin and everything, it seemed like, you know, it was obvious that the best players wanted to go. Everybody wanted to go to Minnesota first, and then do you think that the realignment
helped them
Bemidji and Minnesota State?
I don't know about Bemidji. But it certainly helped Mankato because they can sell that. Okay, you can go there and get lost in one of these other programs because the other programs are always up there nationally ranked and things. You can go get lost in those programs, or you can come to this one and be a star.
But I was that's one angle. I was going at the angle as that, you know, the
NCAA rankings.
Well, the Minnesotas aren't the Gophers have not been. You know, they haven't been in general the last since this has happened like they were back in the day. You know, you don't have that North Dakota Minnesota Golden Gopher thing going every year. It just seemed like they would be able to lure more kids away because it's not so, as a lot of the hockey coaches put, sexy to go to Minnesota as it was maybe back in the day.
You can there's I don't quite know the angle you're going with it, but I'll say this. Mankato you still have to win your games. Mm-hmm. You still have to win your games. And Mankato beats the teams in our league, that they need to beat. And then they battle and come out with what they come out with against the top teams every year in the league. And even if they split with them, they win the games that they should win. And then they schedule non-conference. They schedule, like this year, I believe they played Duluth and lost only once, I think. They've played Minnesota. They swept BU. I believe they played St. Cloud. I think that's their non-conference schedule, and I believe they split with St. Cloud. But they're playing against teams that are pretty good in their proximity, except for BU. They had that two-year home-and-home deal. But they're playing against teams that are going to help them pairwise. We try to schedule the same way. We schedule a good non-conference schedule. The difference with us is that, we haven't been consistent this year better about beating the teams. You know, we've done a pretty good job against that. We've had trouble against the top teams in the league this year. You know, that's no secret against the top teams. And then when we play a top team non-conference, we haven't been able to match those challenges. And I don't want to dodge anything here. It's my job to have our guys at their best to be able to perform. We have a lot of standards that we have. But a fundamental underlying principle that I found is the compete level that you have to have every day to get better and improve. And that's how I judge a lot of, are you understanding, doing all your work to help us. When we've been very, very good, we have guys that are on that, and then we just start bringing guys in, one more guy and one more guy and one more guy in. But you first have to have that standard where there's not, and I'm not saying fighting each other, but again, I say it, I wouldn't say we coach hard because we're really honest. There's no head games and things like that. But we do demand, and we do let them know when we feel that the standard has to be better. That's part of our job. That's hard coaching. That's loving coaching. That's parenting. That's whatever. But we have guys that don't like to be told. You know, they don't like to be singled out. They don't like to be told things. That limits them. We talk about Jerusik. We talk about guys. Why does a guy go in? And Maddie's done a great job for us. He's got a 2.1 goals against average, a .920 save percentage. His numbers are now way better than they've ever been anywhere else. we need the same performance every week with self-accountability, self-motivation, and not guys sitting out for, you know, a couple games or whatever, and then coming in, they give you a great performance. We've seen, how many of those guys have we seen this year where we sit them out for a weekend, and we're not doing it to play head games. We're doing it because they're non-productive to our standard. And then they come in, and all of a sudden, they're off the charts. All that's changed is that individual in or out of the lineup. Then all of a sudden, they get in, and they perform well. Matt Jerusik now is feeling very good about himself. We've done that with other players, and then they're feeling good about themselves. So I'm not a big motivator type of a guy. I'm more like Tony Dungy. If you have to, we're going to create a culture of a standard. You motivate yourself to come to that every day and enjoy it. And if you enjoy that, you're going to excel. And that's we've had those guys here, and that's why our program has been so good, and we can't compromise that.
All right, Coach. Let's get one. We're running out of time. Let's get one question before we take a break. First question is: some people, let's see what this says. Some people have written this season off. What do you think, and of the future?
Never write it off. Never. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs, and we showed last year. I mean, there's no quit. There's no quit. It's not. You know, we're not backing down, and the players realize that we're not going to back down. I mean, whatever we go through, they know that we're not going to back down one second. You know, we're going to keep going at it, keep pushing the standard. Are there going to be decisions made that may be better long range solutions? Absolutely, but not with compromising the culture of what we're doing. We're not going to ever cheat for, we need to play this guy because can provide offense, but he's a liability defensively. We're seeing right now where we're getting a turnaround in our compete level, in our defensive game, in our consistency in that regard. Our D are getting the puck out more efficiently and things. We're seeing the turnaround on that. Everything else has got to follow that. We first have to take care of that standard, that compete level, and then we go on through recruiting, through continued coaching, through other measures of accountability to try to create things the other way.
More of your questions coming up here on the Joe Schaan Hour right after these.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy, knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Lawrence today or call us at 906-524-6330.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Stock up for the winter with ISO Heat Gas Line Antifreeze. 12-ounce containers at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet. Buy one, get your second at 50% off. See store for complete details and more monthly specials at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet through January 30th.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Coach Sean taking time on his birthday to do a show today. That, I love it, man. You're dedicated and you're all in, Coach. Hey, let's get to the questions. We don't have a ton of time here. So next question, Coach. When the team makes trips up to Alaska and does the two-weekend trip, two in a row, back-to-back, does the whole team get to travel or do some people stay home? This is what this listener is asking. And also they're saying glad that everybody made it home safely.
No, we bring more, but we don't bring everybody. There's cost prohibitive factors. We obviously bring a third goaltender, which we didn't do last weekend. They expand your travel roster, I believe. I don't know what the limit is, but you can carry at least one more. You can carry 24 at least up there instead of the 23 normal.
I think it's
normal.
Two more because they're giving you that other extra weekend.
The goalie. Yeah. So you can do that, but
one more and a goalie. I see what
you're saying. Okay. So, I don't think we brought an extra guy this weekend. We didn't, but we could have brought it, but, I was fine for the 1 weekend just bringing the two goaltenders.
Next question is, Coach, why do you think the team doesn't seem to show up to play for the win until the last 5 minutes of the game?
Mm-hmm. So that's on me. That's what we're trying. That's the culture standard we're trying to instill. You're reaching the million-dollar question. Why do some guys take certain types of, react to different types of motivations differently? We're everybody's different. We're trying to. Hey, right now, last weekend, you have to come out of that weekend feeling that. We feel pretty good about Hallinan, Brotzman, Gould, right? They were good Saturday night.
Oh yeah,
Saturday night, 10 shots between them on the night. That's pretty good output. Hard guys that Brian Hallinan didn't play last weekend, the weekend before. Guys that are, we've held to a standard. Gavin Gould didn't play in the Mankato series. We're trying to get guys one by one. Through accountability and damn, guys fight it. They fight it. The easiest thing to do is why me? Why me? Poor me. And to go to the guy next to him and first of all, they find the next guy sitting out. Yeah, I went through it. It's not easy. And ultimately what they want is they want you to go back to them, make them feel good. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes the thing is to say, hey, listen, man, you perform, you, and that has to come from people they respect. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying about, you look at teams, you can tell a lot about their culture and where it's at a present time with their power play. Because those guys are usually the guys, which you would consider the leaders on the team because they're the top offensive guys, they're the sexy guys. Our power play was brutal. I mean, that's on me on getting a standard acceptable. So I have to take responsibility for that, but getting an acceptable standard of play. And if you think you're frustrated, watch it through our eyes on the bench and watch it through Dirk's eyes, who's traveling with us when we're telling them to be everything but perimeter and we want them to attack on the power play and we're making passes through a seam that's collapsed from hash mark, trying to make it over to hash mark. And it ends up going up in, for a 2-on-1 the other way. And then you got guys that are upset. Vividly upset if you put out a regular line. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. If we go with a line that's least giving us, we know we'll get out of that line on the power play. And then your players are trying to make you feel like, we think you're quitting, coach, because no, what we're doing is trying to get productivity. We're not trying to send a message. We're not trying to play a head game. We're just trying to get productivity. And until you guys do what you're being coached to do and asked to do, and then we see that doesn't work. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So it's a really good question that we're trying to find the answers. All we know is that the answers come from the accountability within each individual in the group, including the coaching staff. We have to make tough decisions. Those tough decisions have ramifications within the culture of the group. Guys that want entitlement, soft wants it soft. If we're coaching hard on accountability factor, I've said before, Ray Bryce has no issues. There's no issues from Rockwell. There's no issues from Donahue. There's no issues from Misiak. There's no issues from Brotzman. There's no issues from a lot of guys. You talk to them and everything is fine because they do their job. They come on, they show every day. And other guys that beat around the bushes a little bit, there's going to be issues with because they don't want to blame. No one wants to blame themselves for poor performance. It's easier to blame somebody else. But when you're out of the lineup and you go back in and things like that, and then you perform, you know, it's our job to find a way to get the top performance out of players. So it's a great question.
All right, here's your next question, Coach. And you know, we had talked about this prior to the show a little bit. What is the deal with is this just a mistake by the officials with giving us extra shootout opportunities there?
I was going on the ice. It's a sudden death shootout. Mm-hmm. I was going. We didn't score. They didn't score. We didn't score. They scored.
We scored. They scored.
No, they scored.
Scored. They scored.
We didn't score. They scored. Game's over.
Yeah.
Game's over. I was going on the ice to shake their hand and turned around. I don't know what the league would have done. They would have had to take, I guess, the points away from us.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, had we scored there and then ultimately won, they would have had to take the points away from us. But, you know, I hope I don't get drilled by the, I mean, you have to be able to say some things. This is now the fourth week in a row where we've had apologies from officials or clarifications from the league office on things, and we do not complain about anything. Well, especially when things aren't going well. The time to have the impact on complaining is when things are going well, and then you make a statement, it should mean a little bit more. But I've had four, I had again this weekend, and I had it 2 weekends ago, where a referee said, well, and this wasn't even on the shootout, we just made a mistake. 2 weeks ago, I had a guy tell me, for game management purposes, I didn't do that. And I said to him, I didn't make that call. And I said to him, you don't have that ability. It's black and white. They've made this rule, put this rule in the book for black and white purposes. And so that you don't have to make a decision on that. Well, for game management purposes. So then I got a call from the head of referees, and I mentioned that to him, and he said, he doesn't have that option. It's automatic. It's, you know, we apologize. He doesn't have that option. So, it is what it is. This weekend, that game was over. I don't know what they would have done. And, you know, it was too many men on the ice, you know, this week. And they called one on us and it was a missed call and they apologized for it. The too many men on the ice on Saturday was a missed call. Now, that doesn't excuse the two penalties we took with when we were on the power play. That's bad. That's bad on our part. But that call was a bad call, and they told us. We apologize for the call. Then they go out and do the same. Then they do it, the same thing. A guy goes on the ice, plays the puck. The other guy's not off the ice. Automatic. There's no question on it. And they said, sorry, we missed it. And when I called them over, and I haven't been talking to refs, you know, I'm not. When I did call them over on that, and I said, what is the rule? And he said the rule. And I said, is that not what happened? I said, the guy has to be off the ice before the other guy plays the puck. You said, didn't you say that's why you called it on us? And then you apologize that you know that the other guy, you know, actually did it, played the puck. It wasn't the same. But, and he says, you're right, apologize. And then we got a power play shortly after. So, I mean, I don't know what to say.
Okay. So the next question here, Coach, is can you talk about compete level and grit? It's not easily taught. What recommendations would you have to try to ingrain it in young kids in today's hockey?
First of all, parents make no excuses. Don't blame coaches because your kid's not playing, and certainly don't ever let the kids hear that when they're in the backseat of the car going home. Let them know that life is life. It is what you make it. Your reaction to how things happen, how you react to them, will determine the ultimate outcome. As a person, Don't try to make them feel good. Don't try to coddle them. I'm not a participation award kind of a guy. I think you learn that the people who find their way to the top in a competing environment, competitive environment, are the ones that deserve those rewards, and work your way to the top. It's plain and as simple as that, through good hard work and self-accountability and things like that. So the way that we do it, the way I've had success in doing it in the past, when I've had soft individuals, a lot in juniors, when you trade for a guy that you think has ability that you need on your team, but is questioned for being soft, is you make practice as absolutely hard as you can. And we do that to some degree. Now the difference with that is that's opposite of Mel. Mel ran a lot of practices that for just skill. And then just played the guys who could make plays in the game, and that's great. And we had skill. Right now, we don't have skill, so we have to ingrain that compete.
Coach, we're out of time. Happy birthday, my friend, and enjoy your day as much as you can. And we'll look forward to a weekend off, at least for us fans, getting not being able to see Huskies hockey is going to be a bummer for this week, but we'll get geared up for the big Winter Carnival Series in 2 weeks.
Thanks. And let me clarify one thing. When I say I was rushing that quick, I don't mean we don't have skill. I'm saying we don't have as much a broad range of skill of Tanner Caro and Jake Johnson. I mean, we had a ton of skill before.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's the Joe Schottenauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Thanks for all your questions, folks. And we'll be back again next Monday at 9 o'clock here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Mix 93.